guys, this is your fearless leader from Real Talk Live 216. We are back here again in the studio, bringing you a special edition for Father's Day. This is, of course, Father's Day weekend, and we are so excited to bring you a special edition show on behalf of all fathers across the world. The title of our show this evening is Father's Day Special, A Few Good Men Finding Their Way Back Home. We're going to get into that a little bit in a few minutes, but just wanted to set the stage for you real quickly. But before we get to the main course of the show this evening, let me first and foremost welcome all of our radio listeners and all of our streaming listeners from Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public, and iHeartRadio. I also want to give a special thanks to all of our new Facebook followers and Twitter followers. I saw this week that we have about 8 new Facebook followers and about 10 Twitter new followers. So want to say welcome to the Real Talk Live 216 family. And if you're listening this evening, hope that you will tune in and call in and talk to us about our topic for this evening. For the ones who want to reach us via our social media platforms, you can do so by the following. You can reach us on Twitter at RealTalkLive216. Facebook is facebook.com/RealTalk216. And our email address is RealTalkLive216@hotmail.com. You also can call us this evening to give us your comments, your suggestions, your thoughts on the topic that we're going to be talking about later this evening, or anything you would like to share as well. That number you can reach us at is 516-453-9476, and then make sure that you press 1 so that you can enter in the other room to talk to us this evening. Okay? All right. Now, I'm smelling barbecue, guys. This is barbecue. It's like some barbecue that I smell right behind me, and it's really distracting me. But anyway, people cook a barbecue. It's like hot outside, but, you know, we don't care. We'll eat barbecue anytime, any place, anywhere, regardless of the heat. So we want to welcome Ms. Riley Rail.
Hey
guys. Happy Father's Day weekend. Hopefully
you're somewhere cool and
enjoying
family and friends and for those of you who have your fathers or father figures around, love on them this weekend, but be safe in the elbows,
tap,
waves, remember,
we gotta
be safe.
Yes, definitely gotta be safe, because COVID is still out there.
Yeah.
And people out here acting like they at Virginia Beach. They don't have no mask on. They
ain't got no words.
They not practicing social distancing. They driving like Ms. Riley Rail said the other day. They driving like they at the NASCAR 500. They just driving, what they call it, dirty.
Yeah, just
they just driving.
No COVID was there was something about women about it.
Yes. So we're going to get into this Father's Day special. Before I start, I want to dedicate this show to my father, Carl Hillier, who's probably listening right now.
Hey, Mr. Hillier.
He is definitely probably listening.
Happy Father's Day to you.
I sent him the number to call, but we'll see if he calls us, Ms. Riley Rail.
That's all right.
You know, my father is not, he's not up to date with the latest technology.
That's all right.
Brother's still carrying the flip phone, but we'll pray for him, y'all.
That's all right.
But I want to dedicate the show to him this evening.
Well deserved.
Yes, want to dedicate it to my 3 sons that are listening as well.
Hey, guys.
Maybe they'll call in. I call them Alvin, Simon, and Theodore.
That's cute.
Maybe they'll call.
It's better than Larry, Curly, and Moe.
That's the truth. So maybe they'll call this evening as well.
And then last but not least, want to wish my brother, Carl Hilliard Jr. I got to make sure because we got a lot of Carls in our family. You know, want to wish him a happy Father's Day as well, and to all the fathers across the world, okay? So I'm going to take a real quick commercial break, and then I come back. I'm going to dive into this topic. I got to set the stage for y'all. But I'll be right back in a few seconds.
Real Talk Radio, changing lives, one conversation at a time.
Do you feel taken advantage of by your security company? Are you having difficulty in trying to talk to a live person? Experiencing billing problems and false alarm fees? Or better yet, just doesn't feel like your business doesn't matter? Then give AAP a call today at 216-321-1369 or toll free at 1-877-371-2288. AAP, where they're celebrating 30 years of service. This is Sean Hilliard, and you have been listening to Real Talk Live 216. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, we are back. Seems like we got back in quick, fast, and a hurry. But today's Father's Day special is entitled, once again, A Few Good Men, Men Finding Their Way Back Home. This show is not going to be about bashing men, particularly black men, because we've had enough of that this whole entire week and the week before that. And you know what's going on in the streets and across the world. So this is not in no shape or form bashing fathers, bashing black men, bashing black fathers. We are here basically trying to figure out a way.
So offer assistance.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of that going on this weekend. So our goal is to bring some resolution. You know, it's so easy to point the finger, but tonight we're going to try to give a hand, okay? So let's get started.
Okay. Should I go the introduction real quick?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So it says, Real Talk Live presents Father's Day Special, A Few Good Men Finding Their Way Back Home. More than ever before have we needed fathers present in the home, but more importantly in their children's lives. Have the fathers lost their way and finding their way back home? Why does it seem like there's just a few good men being a father to their children? What are the underlying reasons? Is it financial pressure? Feel like your voice is not being heard with your child's mom? You feel like your child is a burden rather than a bundle of joy? Or you simply feel that your child will be better off without you? Whatever your reasons are, the bottom line is you are needed, and there is an important place and role for you waiting back at home. You may feel like it's too late, but is it ever too late to come back home? Let this Father's Day be the beginning and the catalyst to reunite you, to inspire you, or more importantly, touch your heart like never before so that you can reclaim your rightful place in your child's life. This Father's Day, the Fearless Leader is sending out an SOS to all the fathers out there, and it simply says, come back home, because that's the place where you belong.
That's amazing. That was a great, great intro. Good job, Fearless Leader. Hopefully that lands on the heart.
I hope it does. I really hope it does. So we talked about this the other day really well. We talked about a few good men finding their way back home. The question is, and maybe you guys could call in and give us some of your comments as well, is why are there just a few good men, or why does it seem like there is just a few good men being a father? And I did some research about this earlier today, and one of the things I found out about this particular question is that when it comes to men or the men who do abandon their fatherly role, it's not done like a snap of their finger. It's a process that they go through before they're making a decision. And so whatever the myth or the stereotype is out there about men, it's not like they're waking up in the morning and saying, okay, I don't want to be a father today. It's a process. And I think some of the reason is that I kind of figured out, Ms. Relly Rail, I think men themselves, per se, I think they put high expectations on themselves. We all know, and again, this goes back to the Bible, where it says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. A man is supposed to be what? A provider. And so when you have these high expectations and these high standards, and I'm not saying this, that the woman placed this on the men, it's just how men think. Men believe they are providers. Men have men in particular have high expectations and standards. And I believe sometimes when they don't meet those standards and when they don't meet those expectations or when they feel like they can't meet those standards and expectations, then they rather feel like, I would rather just fall back and not assume my fatherly role. That is just how some men think. I'm not saying that's how all men think. That is just the research that I found out as I was researching the show these last couple of days. So, what do you guys think about that? Do men in particular put high expectations on themselves and high standards where if they don't meet those standards, they just pretty much just forsake their role? And maybe the few good men that are being fatherly role, maybe they have accomplished those standards and those expectations. So we have a caller on the line. Like to know what this caller may be thinking about Ms. Relly Rail. Let's tune in and see what this caller thinks.
And great evening.
Good evening. You're on Real Talk Live 216 with the Fearless Leader and Ms. Relly Rail. I know you probably just got in here a few seconds ago, but this evening we're talking about this is our Father's Day special. A few good men finding their way back home. And one of the things I mentioned before is that sometimes men in particular, they put high expectations and standards on themselves so that when they don't meet these expectations and standards, they rather just abandon their role. And so what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that there's some truth to that for sure. I think men put high expectations on themselves, fortunately, but unfortunately, whether they have children or not. So it's when you're creating that new life, you know, they say that, you know, having a child is one of the most precious things you'll ever do and one of the most life-changing things that you ever do. So I believe that one of the things that comes with such a life-altering situation is also an enormous amount of a challenge, if you will. So, and I think as a man, there's two ways that we typically look at any challenge, and that's something that can be overwhelming, or we look at it as something to overcome and something to you know, as a welcome challenge. You know what I mean? So, but I definitely feel it can be something that's overwhelming, especially when you have so many. A lot of fathers who might not have had fathers in their home had to find their way. You have a really big issue as far as when we have a lot of fathers who were playing a male role, but were never actually playing a man role. And I think that's a huge problem. And I think that is the reason why we have so many issues is when we have men that are doing things that males do and seeking that companionship from a woman, but they're looking for female things, if that makes sense. And when you're not using things for their rightful purpose, then you're going to have those disconnects. You know, so I have a very good friend of mine in a kind of a similar situation that you're kind of discussing, where him and his mother, his child, do not get along. But he is, you know, kind of fighting tooth and nail just to be there. But one of the challenges for him is as well pride with, and for him is his mother of the child makes more money than he does. But for him, it's an inviting challenge because he says, I don't want to put myself in a situation where my child gets older and never saw daddy making any money or never saw daddy making as much money as mommy. And, of course, that has its own issues. But for his perspective, it was something that he used as a motivator, if you will, as an, instead of something that he used to say, I give up, I can't do it, I'm just better off not even being in the picture.
Yeah. It goes back to the, like, men feeling unappreciated, feeling undervalued.
Sure.
And when that happens, if they don't feel like there's a need or value there, then they go where the value and need is at, and they just withdraw. You know, and you made some very good points. What do you think, Ms. Riley Rowe?
I agree totally with everything the male role versus the man role. And as you touched on the environment, you know, some individuals want to be that go-to person for their child, but that barrier that we might call baby mama, you know, is preventing that. So it's like, I have to deal with my own issues as far as financial and wanting to make more so I can provide. And then I have to deal with you as well, so it's like you're another burden, not being supportive of what it is I'm really trying to do. So that in itself can cause a person to say, you know what, I have all these other things I'm dealing with in my life. This is just another add-on I keep. And so even with that, as you shared, in your experience, has it been something beneficial that was said or done to assist individuals who have those issues when it comes to their child's mom? Like, I know tons of young men, you know, and we heard the saying, you know, great girlfriends don't make great wives. The great girlfriends don't make, you know, great moms. And now they're experiencing that. And because it's the anticipation of, oh, the yelling, the screaming, or the constant telling me what I'm not doing or what I'm not good at, and then that's another thing. I think also with men, a lot of us, well, women in general, we do the same thing as we do sometimes with kids. We constantly say things that might be, like, detrimental to their life, self-esteem, you know, like, you're just like your dad, you're this. And if I am a young man, and I feel like I'm pressing, but you don't see that, you're constantly telling me what I'm not doing. It's easy for me to just make your words true and not do anything. It's be worthless, because when I am at my best, it's not acknowledged.
Yeah, and you can only imagine, Ms. Riley Rowe and our caller, the pressure that later on is applied to that child, because now that child has more higher expectations to overcome what their father didn't do. So either that child is going to break that generational curse, or either he's going to follow right behind that generational curse, you know?
Right.
But you stay right there, caller, because I really want to talk to you some more. We have another caller on the line. I want to see what he thinks about our conversation, but thank you for calling this evening.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Caller, you're on the line with the Fearless Leader, Ms. Riley Rowe from Real Talk Live 216. Today is a Father's Day special. We're talking about a few good men finding their way back home. We're talking about
some of the barriers and things that men experience, especially with parenting, whether it be financial, environmental, relationships that we have, and just trying to provide insight as to what those barriers might be and also what possibly has been beneficial in the past for men overcoming such burdens, such strongholds or challenges that they are enduring.
Are you there, caller?
Can you hear me, Mr. Hilliard?
Yes, I can hear you. Fearless Leader.
<Awesome. laughs> That's what's up. Honestly, with this particular topic, I feel like I'm speaking from a place of privilege, because being a father, I have five children, three grown, two about to graduate from high school.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I give a clap off.
We just couldn't go.
Yes.
They're all by my wife, so I talk to several people who tell me stories about that word they use that they should, you know, the baby mama or the mother of their child and the issues and the stuff they have to deal with. And I'm like, I can't relate. I don't have those experiences. The mother of my children is my wife.
Okay.
I figured that was a lot simpler. And my wife and I have been married, this November we'll be married 21 years. And it wasn't easy, but it was like, it better for the alternative. There are some days that were challenging, but I work with teenage youth, and the shocking thing is most of the kids that I work with either have no relationship or poor relationships with their father, most of them.
Yeah.
And I know that I didn't want that for me, and I know I didn't want that for my children. And so my wife and I, we just decided we have to nip some things in the bud before they become so big that we can't work through them. And also we realized that our behavior sets the tone, not just for our family, but for other people in our community. There are people watching you. And we just decided, like, we weren't going to fit that stereotype. We weren't going to just fall into those traps. And we've had issues financially. We've had communication issues.
Right.
We've had, whether it might be somebody else might catch your eye or something like that. We have to process through a lot of things in 21 years. And I thought about it in life. You put up with a lot of crap at work. Like, everybody puts up with a lot of crap at work. And you find a way to tough it out. But for some reason, I find people like, this is the mother of your child. You can't figure out a way to make it work, or you can't nip that stuff in the bud. Like, I'm really proactive. My role as a black man, as a being a father, it's really important to me that I set that tone, not just for my sons that are biologically mine, but for sons that I have out there that look up to me as like a father. There's a bigger picture than just you and her. We like each other and let's have some fun together. There's a community aspect. When you decide to get together, that impacts the community. And so it's not a decision that I encourage people to take lightly. People just want to get married on one resort because you think it's, you know, sex on tap. Or you think it's like financial security. In either case, that shouldn't be the point. Don't do this thing lightly so that we don't have to keep having these conversations about, you know, my baby mama, baby daddy this. No, my wife this, and my father, you know, father my child that, and things of that nature. I don't know if that helps, but I'm just hoping to be an individual that people can look to not just for inspiration, but maybe, I'll give it wisdom from my experiences, and hopefully people don't have to fall in some of the same pitfalls, and we can begin to break that norm. We can, you know, continue to change that dynamic of, you know, just jumping from one relationship to the next and create some more stable relationships, not just for ourselves, but for our children.
Yeah. One of the things I admire about you, Jay, because I've known you for a long time, being your previous boss and all that, and all the things, you know, we did, you know, working at our previous jobs, is that at a very young age, what I saw from you that I admire even to this day is that I've never seen anybody go to school, work, and then balance the children that you have. You were one of my site captains and one of my teen center, but what amazed me about you is how you were able to balance being a father at such a young age. And I didn't see that a lot. You know, in the community when it comes to fathers. Some fathers just don't know how to balance the two because maybe they were never taught that. And so it just seems like it's just too overwhelming to overcome. But those are one of the things that I kind of admired about you is how you balance family, work, and education and still being a father. That's a lot.
Can I be honest? There are times when I drop the ball on things because I do so much. But when I do workshops at times and people say, well, what's your key to success if there is such a thing? I say make a decision. Like, make a decision. The word decide literally means to kill off other options. Make a decision. Mm-hmm. Like, and once you make that decision, make it work. Figure it out. Like, there's going to be days when, like, I don't know how to do it. All right. Learn how to do it. Watch a DVD. Talk to somebody. Try it, fail, get back up, do it again. Say I'm sorry a lot. Just have conversation. Figure it out. And I'm just not an excuse person. It's like either you're going to do it or you're not going to do this. My wife and I, we have deal breakers. We have these things called deal breakers. Like for me, my wife knows, like, a deal breaker for me would be like her cheating on me. That would be the thing for me.
Okay.
I don't think I'd be able to push through. Maybe I need to grow in that area, but that's where I am right now.
Okay.
Yeah, right. My non-negotiable. So since I know that's my non-negotiable, I do my part to not put her in a position where she would feel the need to cheat on me. I help her help me.
Wow.
I help her help me. Like, I found it.
Yeah.
Well, why would she feel the need to do that? And so whenever there's been times when, you know, she's felt kind of like rejected, or times when she felt ignored, or things of that nature. I'll make excuses. You change it. You own up to it. You may like, you know what, you're right. And you don't say, I'm going to do better, and then don't do better. You say you're going to do better, and then you tell her what you're going to do differently, and then you do those things. You nip it in the bud before she has had that awkward conversation. Like, you just be accountable. You make it you make it work like you make everything else in life work, for the family, for the kids. Like, being a man is more than just about having a penis. There's a lot to it. Like, you got to be accountable. Your word, when I made that vow, that was a serious commitment for me. And I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that I do my part to be the best husband I can be. Now, my job ain't to make her happy. I refuse to make that my responsibility. But my job is to be a great man. My job is to be a great father. My job is to be a great husband. I have 100% control over that. Now, if I do all of that, I'm a great man, a great father, and a great husband. If you want to leave, I'm like, look, I hope you pack your bags. Because, like, I don't know what you want.
Man,
that's
what
the best
I got.
But 9 times out of 10, who's leaving all of that?
I know that's right. Okay, so even with that, to that father who's out there like, okay, this individual has longevity in a relationship, he has that helpmate, and it sounds like he's grounded. I don't have any of that, and maybe they feel like it's too late. You know, I haven't seen my child in 5 years, 10 years, 2 weeks, whatever it is. What do you say to that individual who might begin to compare and contrast, who are so easily say what they can't do and look at the time that has gone by and might feel like it's too late? Or my daughter is, you know, a teen now, and she says she doesn't need me, so I'm just going to do me. What do you say to that individual?
I have two goals. One, two focuses as it relates to that. One, what do you want? You always start with the end in mind. What type of relationship do you want with your children? Even if you don't have it right now, you need to know what your goal is, so you'll be actively working towards it. Because then, in every decision you make, you got to ask yourself, does this decision help me get towards that goal? The answer is yes, do it.
Right.
The answer is no, then don't do it. The second thing is, you got to work on you daily. Like, every day you're either getting better or worse. There is no staying the same. The only thing constant is change. So if you're not getting better, you're by default getting worse. So the question you got to say is like, well, I want to be a father. Well, what kind of father do your children deserve? They deserve the best father. Are you that guy? No. What things could you do, or what areas do you need to work on? And start working on those things. Like, work on that version of you. So I think if you keep your goal in front of you and you keep working on you, so that you and your goal, there's a thing called the law of attraction. You attract what you are, not what you want. You attract what you are, not what you want. Become a great dad. The situation for you to be that great dad will provide itself. You got to become that person. Don't just, I want to see my kids. Maybe the best thing for your kids is for them not to see you right now. You might not need to be in their life. You might not be the person they need to see. Work on you. And I know that's hard, but all you can control is you. So do that. Control you. And then take advantage of the opportunity you get. If I could only see my child one day out of the week, take that day and make that day amazing.
Right.
Make it amazing.
The best 24 hours ever. You're right.
Look, one amazing day beats 29 crappy days any day. If your child only see you one day a month, you better make sure that day's so powerful that when next month come around, they're like, man, I can't wait till the 15th when I see my dad.
You're right.
But if
all
you do is you pick your kids up and then drop them off at your mama's house, did you really spend time with your kid?
Hello.
I'm just saying, I believe that God gives you more when you show that you're worthy of more. If you ain't doing nothing with what you already got, like, I only see my kid every other weekend. Great. What did you do with him last weekend? Nothing. Then why would he give you more? You're not even doing nothing with what you got. I'm just saying, be the best version of yourself you can be today, and then tomorrow try to beat that.
So when that individual is trying to be the best dad or whatnot and is an epic fail, to say that this is the greatest, what does mom or dad, because there are some fathers out here who are raising their children because mom, you know, has decided that she's going to do her own thing or she's not ready or what have you. So when it's time to have that conversation with the child about, you know, dad not being there, how does that conversation kind of start? Is there a time? When do you think would be a good time to have that conversation with the kid about who dad really is? Or do we continue to say, oh, your dad passed away, or, you know, we don't want to talk about that? At what point,
I think,
if dad or mom is continually, you know, miss that step, do you sit down with the child and let them know what it is, and how do you do that?
I think, one, I don't lie to children. I don't lie to children. Two, I believe children can handle the truth better than adults can handle the truth. Three,
okay.
I will never, ever badmouth my children's mother to my children. Ever. If she robbed a bank, I was like, she just, you know, she went to work today. I don't know. I'm never going to paint a bad picture of my wife to my children. I don't care. No matter how foolish the things she may have done, I'm never going to speak ill of the mother of my children, ever. Like, never. There's nothing she could do that would ever make me badmouth her to our children. And that's just my standard that I have. And I think my wife is pretty much the same towards me. Now, granted, I try to make it easy on her and not do stuff that would make her have to badmouth me. But even if it wasn't happening, there's a standard that people often, and I think in most cases, find their identity in their parents. And so I want my children to always aspire to be great. So I have to paint this picture that they come from greatness. Now, greatness is defined differently and looks differently. Just because of part, you say, well, what if dad is a drug dealer? You sound like an entrepreneur to me. You know what I'm saying? What if dad's around? You also have to paint the picture that something, be real. Like, I tell my kids about my issues. Dad messed up. So what if dad messed up? All right, you can paint that picture differently. Sometimes we make bad decisions.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, well, say dad got caught selling drugs. All right, dad got caught selling drugs. He's in jail. You talk about that. Sometimes people make bad decisions for what seemingly good reasons. Like, he wanted to provide for his family. He made a decision. It was maybe not the best decision, but in his mind, maybe he thought it was the best decision. I'm simply saying there's ways you can spin it where you don't have to throw a person up under the bus. Just because a person makes a bad decision or several bad decisions doesn't mean you throw the whole person away. You definitely shouldn't throw them away to that child. That child will looks for that identity and validation in that parent. And so don't throw anybody up under a bus unnecessarily.
Yeah. Do you think, Jake, that as the parent, speaking of the mom, do you think she should somehow leave that door kind of open just in case the father do decide to come back home, or should she just completely shut the door altogether?
That's a rough call, one, because I'm more comfortable talking to men and telling men what I think they should do than I am telling women what I think they should do. I think as a woman, you got to make that decision. You got to make that call. And God bless them, because how do you tell somebody how to make that decision? Now, in a personal situation, my oldest child is not biologically mine. And I remember one time with his father was supposed to pick him up. And it was 10 o'clock at night. My son had been sitting by the front door with his suitcase ready for his dad to pick him up for two hours. Finally, my wife's blowing his phone up. Finally, he answered. He's like, and when he finally answered, he's like, oh, my bad. I forgot it was my weekend. I'm out at the club with my boys, man. I'll get him next time. My wife hung up the phone, and she was like, you know what? He ain't never going over there again. And one of the hardest things I had to do was put it to the side of like, no, don't do that. Not because I like this dude, you know. I don't care about the dude in that regard. But his son wants to see him.
Right.
Yeah, he's messing up. So even if he messes up to the point where he only gets to see his son one time a year because he ain't never there, let the son have that one time a year. Let him have that. Now, when he gets older, he can make it up his own mind whether or not he wants to see his dad. But as a five-year-old kid just wants to see his dad. He don't care. He ain't counting the day. He just wants to see his dad. And I'm like, I know you're in your feelings. Trust me, I want you to be in your feelings. Like, if anything, I want to be like, tell that dude kick rocks. But it ain't about him.
This is
my kid. The kid deserves the right to see his father unless that father is a threat. If the father's going to get him involved in things that are risky to his health or his safety, then I'm going to tell the mom to be a good mom. Just do what you got to do. But if it's just the fact that he didn't drop the ball a couple times or you don't like him or he got a new girlfriend or he got married to somebody, that's the issue. You got to take your pride and think about the kid first.
Wow. So amazing.
It is. And even with parenting, I think a lot of it also comes from mimicking what we see or what we don't see. So in your role as a parent, are there things that you find extremely essential with raising young men? And I don't know if you have any sons, but to ensure that they, you know, are fathers are able to take care of responsibility around the board, are there things that you have learned along the way? Like, I know I have to speak life into my young men, or this is something that I make purposeful to ensure that they're ready, you know, for life, if or when, or
I got
just modeling the way.
My number one advice for parents, not even just men, but parents, is this. Don't be foolish enough to think you can raise them by yourself. You can't.
Right.
Like, they need too much. These children are so multifaceted. You don't have everything they need. Now, you want to act like you do, but that's you and your pride. You be honest, you ain't got it all. You don't know it all. Your mom ain't teach you everything. You, as an adult, you look back and be like, why didn't my parents teach me that? Because they didn't know. So clearly there's some stuff you don't know that you can't teach your kids. So this is what I did.
Right.
I made sure that I put people in my children's lives so that when there were things they didn't feel comfortable coming to me about, they could go to those people. And they had to be people that I trusted so much that those people, when my children confide in those people don't have to come back to me and tell me what my children said. Because I trust you enough to tell, to give them good advice. You ain't got to, quote unquote, the kids say snitch on them. No, I put you in their life because I trust your advice. And so there have been times, I don't want to get too much detail because I want to put my kid's business out there, but there was a time my son was dealing with something that he didn't feel comfortable sharing with me. And he shared it with one of my friends, and they helped him process it. And he didn't end up telling me until 5 years after he had already told them. And whole time, they never told me. And I told him, thank you.
Yeah.
I told him, thank you. You know what I'm saying? You did your job well. Because had you told me, they might not have trusted you anymore, which means they wouldn't have went back to you for any help. Like, you did your job. It takes a village to raise a child. This whole don't talk to my kid, that's stupid. Don't tell my kid nothing. Mm. All right. Make sure you get that, what's that called, prepaid legal? You're going to need it. You're going to need it. For that little kid, you're going to need it. Tell my kid
You're
something.
Right.
You see my kid doing stuff, then smack him upside the head. Like, talk to that boy.
Yeah, like I was back in the day. Yeah. You're
well,
so right,
like,
Jay.
No,
you
not like
that.
They was on some other stuff. No, they would beat you. They passed you to your mom. They would beat you. They passed you this. That was child abuse. No, not like that, but some of that.
Or even with that. That's how you brought that up when you were talking about child abuse. How different... parenting, you know, how a lot of the conversations go, you're not around enough to put your hands on my son, or you're not around enough to, you know, talk to my daughter that way. What are your thoughts on that?
Ooh, this is my favorite topic, and if anybody's on the line, you probably about to get a whole bunch of hate mail for this one. If it's wrong for somebody to do something to your child and they're a stranger, why is it okay for you to do it to them and you love them? Like, I would expect a stranger to do something harsh to my child. They don't love my child. They don't have a relationship.
Right.
I'm simply saying we abuse our children and call it discipline because we've never been taught what discipline
yes.
is. We don't even know what discipline is. The root word for discipline is disciple, which is a student or a learner of.
Ooh.
We don't teach our kids crap. We just beat them. You're just beating them because basically you're throwing an adult temper tantrum because you have not yet learned the skills on how to manage a child. And I'm talking to myself because the first four kids got whooping. The fifth one didn't because he didn't cry. His first spanking, you know, you got pop, 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 and he flinched.
Right.
Pop, pop, pop,
ooh.
He still ain't flinched. Pop, pop, my hand like bloody red. It's hurting. He ain't flinched yet. I'm like, go to your room. And it was at that moment I realized I can't whoop him because I'm going to have to hurt him to get a tear.
Yeah,
so I had to raise him without spanking him. And he's been the perfect kid. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. So I can raise kids without whooping them? It's like, yeah. So now as an educator and I've learned other styles and things like that, I had to go back and apologize to my kids. I'm like, I did what I did because my parents did it, and I never took the time to question. That's what I was taught. That's what I saw. And so now I do workshops teaching all the time on effective teaching strategies for parents. Like effective discipline strategies for parents. And you discipline children differently at different age periods because of how their brain development is. You don't have to use slave brain techniques or tactics in order to rear your children. Now, I mean, granted, except for maybe like you might have to pop the hand of a 2-year-old. Why? Because they don't, or a 1-year-old because they don't understand words. And if you keep sticking his finger in the light socket, you get hurt. But once your kid understands words, you need to communicate to them. Because if the only way of communicating anger is pain, you're teaching them indirectly that when they get angry, it's okay to hurt the other person.
Yes.
You're teaching them that. My wife would tell you, I don't yell at my kids. I tell them, you yell at dogs. You don't yell at people. So what do you mean? Dogs understand. They understand pitch and tonality. They don't understand words. They understand that in volume. These are my children. I'm not going to yell at you for what? I'm grown. I ain't got to yell. I run this house. I pay the bills here. I'm raise my voice for what? I'm going to tell you to do something, you're going to do it. And if you don't, there are consequences. I ain't got to raise my voice to do that. You're throwing an adult temper tantrum because you haven't learned discipline. But you want your child to be more disciplined than you. That's poor parenting. Your kids will model back what you do, but they will model back what you do more than what you do, though, and at a higher level. So you got to definitely, whatever you do, that's what they're going to do. So I learned, I'm cool, calm. And they get mad because they're he ain't even mad. Oh, here we go. He about to make me write an essay on why I should love my brother. So I'm like, why? Because that essay that's going to take you 5 days to write, it's going to stick with you longer than that 15 seconds thinking.
Oh my goodness. And that's what I was going to ask. Other methods of discipline.
My son at 5, I love this story. When he was 5 years old, he got suspended from the bus for throwing paper. And when he got, 5 years old, throwing paper on the bus, all right, that's, 5 year old. You do stupid stuff. You're 5. I only had one question to ask him. I said, who threw the first piece of paper? Because if he had said me, he wouldn't have gotten that much trouble. He was like, this other kid threw it, so I threw some paper back. I was like, oh, so you were just being a follower. Oh, no, we don't do that. Made him write 500 times, I will not be a follower and do stuff like throwing paper on a bus. 500, man, his little hands, like my hand hurt. I was like, guess what? You're going to learn. Now, granted, 500 was probably a little bit excessive. I just simply said.
Well, 5-year-old, too?
Man, 5. 5.
He got carpal tunnel.
So every day.
He got carpal tunnel.
He didn't do them all at one time. Like, he didn't do them at one time. It's just that he'd come home from school, like, you got to do some more. You got to write some more. I didn't make them write them all in one sitting. Like, no, I can't write 500 times in one sitting. But no, ain't going to be no TV today. You got extra homework to do. You got to keep writing.
Okay, so
I want you to write just so you remember. Like, my problem isn't that you threw the paper. My problem is why you threw the paper. You were just being a follower. Like, I need you to think before you do what you do. There's sometimes it might be the right call to throw a piece of paper. That wasn't one of them. I'm just saying, don't do stuff just because other – and we talked about that. Even at 5 years old, I'm talking about you can't just follow everybody. And I need you to understand, and he remembers that. He still remembers that. You know what I'm saying? There's things, and I talk to my kids. At six, my kids was watching Amistad and having conversations about slavery. Why? Because I need them to be able to talk and communicate and express themselves. Every day after school, you have to tell me what you learned in school. Not because I want to see if you were paying attention. Now, I know you're paying attention. You're smart. I want to know if the teachers were teaching you dumb stuff that I got to unteach you and reprogram you. Like, you have to have a conversation. And your kids need to be able to have conversation with you like that. Talk to your kids. Black kids, they say between the ages of between the ages of birth and I think it's 12 or 18 months old, something like that, black kids develop the fastest. But it's something like between the ages of 2 and 4, we have the biggest digression. And it's like, it's because parents stop really working with their kids. That kid want to learn. Talk to them.
Yeah.
My kids didn't say, I want Wawa.
Yeah.
You know, we keep like, Ma, Wawa. I'm like, what's Wawa? I'm like, I would like some water, please.
Right,
and I want to hear
right.
all those compliments. People are like, you're being mean. Like, I'm not being mean. I'm training them. I'm holding them to a high expectation, and they excel to it. By the time they were 5, they all knew their alphabet, their numbers, their shapes, their colors, and they knew, like, 25 different sight words. They were reading. It's like before they went to kindergarten. It's like, why? Because when you talk to them and you work with them, they can learn it. Just stop putting your kid in front of a stupid TV. Be a parent is what I'm saying. Be a real parent, not just, you know, a sperm donor. Be a parent. Be there. Be active. Educate. Build your child into the greatness you want to see from them.
Mm. Well, man, thanks, Jay, for
yes!
We got to have
these. Jay 2000. Get them together. Help these men get back home.
I'm about to call him Professor. That
yes!
was a good name. Professor, you can call us anytime.
Please.
We got another caller on the line, but, man, we have enjoyed you this evening. I really hope some
thanks
of
the
men and parents heard what you said. But, man, I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you. Thanks for the invite.
All right, I'll talk to you soon,
man. About the call. Thank you very much.
You got it, man. I'll see you soon.
Yep, yep.
Carla, you're on the line with the fearless leader, Ms. Riley Rail, Real Talk Live 216. I know you probably heard some of the things we discussed this evening. What are your thoughts on what we're talking about this evening about a few good men finding their way back home, our Father's Day special?
In the words of the fearless leader, I like Mr. Jake. Mr. Jake was bringing truth to life. I sat here and I listened to him because, you know, I don't always call in, though I listen to you guys every week.
Right.
Because and so listening to him, he said so many things that just really made sense and brought a lot of life to situations. And one of the things that he said that made me call in when he was talking about the disappointment that his son was feeling the day that his father was supposed to pick him up and he didn't pick him up. You know, women, we are the ultimate mother bears. We protect and we care for and we tackle any and everything. But I think that it was profound that he said, this boy needs to see his father. Yeah, I know that I'm here, but he will always want to see his dad, and that's important. So don't take that away from him, because had she took that away from him, she's also relieving him of his accountability for his son. So his relationship with his son is for him to build, it's for him to manage, and for him to foster. And we women should not get in the way of those relationships. We may have a lot of cleaning up to do. But we should not get in the way. He said, you know, kids deal with things better than adults do. He talked about adult temper tantrums. I mean, it was so on point. You know, kids, we have to be honest with kids. We have to tell them the truth. And I even love how he was talking about how he started to communicate with his children at a young age. Intelligent. You know, you have to speak to your kids, not only speak to them, speak life into them early so that they can learn how to speak life for real. So and the thing about it takes a village. I could go on and on and on. But Mr. Jake, I appreciated hearing him on the line tonight.
Mr. Professor. well, Ms. Benita, I got a question for you. I don't know if this is in the coach zone or what have you, but I wanted to ask it for Jake, but then you called and I said, yeah, this is a question for you. And I'm talking about the men
who have emotional, psychological, and abusive relationship from a from their parents, and they feel like, I would rather stay away because I don't know if I'm able, you know, the things that I experienced as a child, will it pass on to my son or my daughter? So they decide to stay away. What are your thoughts about that?
You can never decide to stay away. You know, you get what you give in life, and we have this thing called the cycle of life, right?
Uh-huh.
And you start off as a baby, and you start to grow, and you start to mature. When you start planting seeds called children, you don't get to walk away. The universe
right.
is not rewarding. You don't get to walk away from something that you created. So mother, father, you don't get to walk away. Your job is to nurture, support, help, develop. You don't get to walk away. If you planted that seed, you have to water that seed. You have to care for that seed because guess what? One day you're going to get old. And you're going to be looking for those seeds to come back and take care of you. And in this life, you get what you give. So it's important that we give all of our best in every moment, in every situation. For the men out there who have challenges with their children's mothers, you know, just keep showing up. Just keep being there. Send the birthday cards. Send the holiday cards. Show up at the football game. School sports schedules are posted online. Show up. Show up. Bring the apples. Bring the oranges. Bring the, you know, high C juice cups. Bring them.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
Don't give up. And I like how Mr. J said, just commit to getting it done. Do it. Do it.
Yeah. I like how he said, start where you're at. Just start.
Yeah.
You know.
And envision the cycle of progress.
Yeah.
You want to be in the action. Not to say I would like to, I want to just make a cognitive decision to get it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Versus just get out here and get it.
Well, my mom did it this way. Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes it's not really like the child per se, Ms. Vanita, that they have a problem with. It's sometimes maybe the toxic or the crazy relationship they may have with their baby's mom or stuff like that. That's the issue. And what I have learned today is that as a man, you have to, like, let the past go and focus on the betterment of your child. You know what I mean?
You know, in difficult situations, I have to remind myself to do everything as unto the Lord. So it don't matter what other people do. You can't control them. You know, hurting people hurt people. You just do stuff, right? And so you are responsible for you. You have to give an account for your actions. So what? She didn't answer the door. You know, did you know your kids was in here? Did you know you ain't seen them? Go ring the doorbell because them kids going to be looking at her eventually like, Mom, that's my daddy. And he want to see me and I want to see him. Especially when it comes to men with sons. When I had my nephew and he started doing little manly things at age 7, I was like, whew, it's too early. And I remember calling his father like, you know what? The only person he needs to be with right now is you. It take a man to teach a boy how to be a man. So you need to show up. I don't know what you got going on in your life. And Fearless Leader, you know he got more than an earful from me. But my nephew is with his dad today.
I was hoping that Alvin, Simon, and Theodore would give us a special guest appearance today, but I guess they having some fun.
This is one of those
deep topics. Yeah, that's a hot topic. Yeah, they're going to be one of my co-hosts, but it's okay. It's okay. It is okay.
Yeah.
Well, what we're going to do is basically end this show with some services, some things that if there is a man out there or a father out there that don't even know where to start, like Jake said, and you kind of like, you know, agree to what he said, is that start where you at. One of the services that we have here in Cleveland, Ohio, is called the Cuyahoga County Fatherhood Initiative. I know the CEO and the person personally because he used to come into YMCA when I worked at the front desk. His name is Mr. Grimes. He is the person that runs that program. If you're listening, you want to know what the Fatherhood Initiative is. The Fatherhood Initiative responds to escalating social concerns regarding fathers' absence by providing fathers with access to services designed to prepare them to better meet the emotional, psychological, and financial needs of their children. If you're listening this evening and you're here in Cleveland, you can call 216-348-3967 or 216-436-2000. They will definitely give you the assistance needed to become a better father in your child's life. Some of the services they offer is a boot camp for new dads, jobs for dads, a strong fathers program, safe and sound supervisor visitation program, and also co-parenting classes for unmarried parents, and so much more services that they have. And then the last group I want to mention is it's called the City Dads Group, but every city, you know, has their own city dads group. For us, it's called our Cleveland Dads Group, and that is run by Darren, can't remember the man's name. That was wrong with you, Sean. Darren Carter, he is the person that runs that program. And the Cleveland Dads Group is a dynamic and diverse community of fathers redefining by example what it means to be a dad in the 21st century. The City Dads Group has over 3,000 members, and the Cleveland Dads Group have 208 members. If you want information, if you want to join this Cleveland Dads Group or the City Dads Group, you want to go to www.meetup.com to join the program. They do play dates. They help you become a better father as well. So those are just some services and programs I want to throw at you guys because, you know,
it's okay to ask for help, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And even with parenting, children will tell you what they want.
Yeah.
You know, they'll tell you how to parent, and you don't have to come in with all of the solutions. Just be available, and they will show you the rest. Trust me, if you're not getting it right, they will be vocal about it. So, again, it's just making it happen and letting go of the past and just really taking it back to the basics. Start with a conversation, sharing some feelings, and then moving forward to create memories.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Ms. Reddy, I truly enjoyed the show this evening. We had some great callers.
Yes, we did.
Man, from Professor to our first caller and ending it with Ms. Benita. Man, it's been a great day. And on behalf of Real Talk Live 216, hearing me and Ms. Reddy Rail, we want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And even fathers that may be expected to be a father soon.
And father figures, those who have stood in the gap for those who just lack those fathers in their lives. So kudos to you, too. Enjoy your day. And as Jake said, it takes a village. So we are in this together.
All right.
Until next Saturday
at
7 o'clock, be safe, be well, and take care of you. Real Talk 216.
All right. We are out.